night he was resurrected and he met with his disciples. Don't go anywhere until you're clothed with power from on high. Speaking of the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we see it foreshadowed in the Old Testament with the priestly garment, the ephod, that David had on here. We see it when Elijah was raptured and the only thing that came floating back down was his mantle. And when Elisha put the mantle on him, the cloak on him, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" The waters parted because he was anointed with the same Holy Ghost that Elijah was anointed with, the same Holy Ghost that was on David when he danced before the Lord in all his might, and the same Holy Spirit that is available to the church today while we stay in the bondage of religion and drink the wine of the world. So this isn't weird. A church service with no life is weird. It's not biblical. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So listen, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark, which represents the presence of the Lord, shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, that was David's wife, looked through a window, and she saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. Take that for those of you that judged me. Maybe you should read your Bible and get rid of your religion. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings in peace. Keep going. Before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. See, when people begin to worship, the king begins to bless his people. You understand? This is what happens. Then he distributed, watch this, among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, the women and the men. It's not just a man's religion. To everyone, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, a cake of raisins. So the king was coming in, worshiping and jumping and praising the Lord. And he brought in the presence of God. And when he brought the presence of God, the king blessed all the people. You understand? When the presence of God comes in the house, everything that is dead begins to come alive. And Saul's daughter, watch this. Let me tell you this now. Very important you get this. Saul was a man pleaser. And it's why the kingdom was ripped away from him and given to David, because David cared more about what God thinks than what man thinks. And his daughter was raised up in that man-pleasing house, and it's why she missed the moment that she was in when people were praising God and getting blessed by the presence of the Lord. She missed her moment because of that man-pleasing spirit that she was raised up in. And it said she despised his worship. So watch this. So all the people departed and everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his own house. Isn't that sad? His own house he came to bless. And look what the response was. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord. My worship and my praise, it's not for other people. If you make it for other people, it's why you have no freedom in your life. Your worship must be for him and for him alone. It doesn't care. You don't care what anybody else thinks. Why would you care what anybody else thinks but him? The one who flung the stars. Let's make him happy. Praise Jesus. Amen." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me," look at this, "instead of your father and all his house." Why did he choose me? Because I'm not afraid to worship you when everybody's looking, when I'm in the dark, when I'm by myself, no matter where I am. I give you the praise that is due your name. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Yeah, you walked into that kind of church. That's who we are. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore, watch this. I will play the music before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants," watch this, "of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." This is very important. Leave it here. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." She was barren. Now listen, understand what David's saying here. She was barren because David never laid with his wife again, because he refuses to be intimate. The king refuses to become intimate with people that love the praises of men more than the praise of God. Look at your neighbor and say, this is really good. Now look at your other neighbor, your first chosen one, and your second chosen one, and say, this is really good. Let me ask you this. Is it too much that you can lift your hands to a God who died bloody and naked in your place? Pastor, why we got to do that? Because all through the scriptures, it tells you to lift up your hands. You're like, oh no, I'm good. Me and God are good. You can't even lift up your hands in public to him. You never open your mouth to witness him. What God is it that you know? Some of you come to church year after year, and I don't know if you've ever even been born again. It's time for you to surrender your life once and for all. We need to pass this test of, well, I feel stupid lifting up my hands. Stop thinking about what people are looking at you and lift your hands up to the one who created you. The scriptures tell us to do it. That's why we do it. I could give you four examples, New Testament and Old Testament, that tell you lift your hands up to the Lord. You know what that's like? See how she has no problem? Keep your hands up there. See how she has no issue with that? Where's her dad? Where's your daddy at? Your mom is right there. Your mom is right there. You know why? Turn around. You know why she can lift her hands like that? Because she's still at a humble age where she understands that when I lift my hands like this, that mommy or daddy will come and pick me up. You understand? And then people are just like, oh, you know, it's just I'm a private person and all the rest. Listen, no, it's not biblical Christianity. David, the Holy Spirit left this in the scriptures for you and for me. And so Michael, his wife, was barren. It means she never produced any fruit. She didn't fulfill the call in her life because she got just what she wanted. You can live your life worried about what other people think, or you can worry about what God thinks and walk in true freedom. When Saul sinned, he actually said to the prophet, I know that I've sinned, yet can you please come out of the tent and bless me in front of all the people? When David sinned, we have record of his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, where he said, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't want that what I've been clothed with to leave me. I could care less about what anybody else in the whole kingdom thinks of me. I don't want your presence to ever leave me. That's the church that we are. We're more concerned about presence than the praise of man. You understand? We need Jesus, not religion. Religion puts you in bondage and doesn't make you free. We need to train the next generation that there's a powerful God that loves them, dwells inside of them, has called them from the womb, and is concerned over them. Welcome to church. I want to worship. I want to worship. Brett, do that. Fall. Can you guys remember falling on my knees? Can you do that? Falling. Can we do that? You got that in your heart, in your head? Listen, we're going to worship God, but don't worry. This is my message. I'm not going to preach another one. If you need to sit down, you can, but sit down and worship. Don't sit down and get on your phone and start checking out and thinking about lunch. But if you're in pain, I understand that. Standing a long time, feel free to worship or sit down. You can kneel. You can do whatever you want, okay? You can stand on your head. I don't care. I remember one guy went swimming. He was doing the breaststroke in a corner. You know, he felt like the river of God hit him. He started swimming. I was like, that's awesome. Do the butterfly. Yeah. Come on. You guys stay right up here. Lead them in worship. Anybody wants to come to the stage and come up here and lead. You know what? The Lord showed me there's so much freedom that's going to come to you because of you know, you've got a heart of worship and you need to sing. So you come on up here and say amen, right? Is that bear witness? You come on right ahead and you sing. This is where you're supposed to be. You know, you come up here too. You get up here. Yeah, you come on. Yeah, you. Yeah, get up there and go back by Sherry and come on. Anybody else wants to come up here? We're going to worship God. You're going to fall down, bow down, worship him. Hallelujah. So you guys just shove that way just a little bit. Shove that way just a little bit. Everybody just sit down. Sit right down where you are. Sit right there. Yeah, just stay right here. You stay right there. So, hallelujah. So many of you were here a couple weeks ago. We prayed for the sick. How many of you were here second service? We prayed for the sick. So, a man who I dearly love, he's out of town right now, so I can't have him testify yet, but I'll have him come soon when he's back in town and testify. But a man that I dearly love, a man who who loves Jesus. He was stricken with a heart. His heart was failing. And then he went to the doctors and they're like, your heart's all messed up. And he was admitted and they let him go. And his family brought him to church that morning. He said that they had to basically carry him in because his heart was so weak and faint. So he actually sat in the back, the very back, and he thought he was going to die. He thought he was dying in the service. So he called his family and said, go get the grandkids out of children's ministry because I want my family around me when I die. And right then, the Lord interrupted the service and said, it's time to pray for the sick. You know God's been saying that. So his family kind of helped him down here. And there were a whole bunch of people that were getting prayed for that were sick. And he stood right here. And one of my elders laid his hand on him and prayed that God would touch his heart. And so he said the moment that he turned around to go back to the seat, the power of God hit him and instantly healed him. He left this place, going out into the restaurant and stopping people that he didn't even know and telling them about how Jesus had just healed him. You understand what I'm saying? That's biblical Christianity, that Jesus would tell the paralyzed one, get up off your cart and carry it. And the religious people, right, Jerry? And the religious people would see him. The Pharisees saw him carrying his cot that he'd been sleeping on over 30 years and got all offended with him and said, you can't be carrying that on the Sabbath. See, that's how religion thinks. We're supposed to have a schedule. On this day, you come. You understand? We want to do this, three songs, you know, and then we got to get out of here. We're busy. We got stuff to do. And in the meantime, the Holy Spirit interrupts the service because there's somebody in the back of the room who's called his kids to him saying, and grandkids saying, I love you, but I'm, you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand how serious this moment was? And we at church, we have programmed the Holy Spirit out because we have dictated, we have allowed the whims of people to dictate the direction of the flow of the Holy Ghost in our services. Because we're afraid that if the people aren't happy, then the whole thing will fall apart. Well, who's building this, God or us? Unless the Lord build the house, come on, they labor in vain unless the Lord build the house. So religion tells this guy, put your cot down. It's the Sabbath. And I love this guy. He looks at him. He goes, the one that told me to get up off of it told me to carry it. So you can do whatever you want, but I'm not letting go of this. You understand? I saw that man left here. He said, I tried to get your attention. I didn't want to interrupt you. I said, no, please interrupt me next time if something like that happens, you know. We'll clear a way for you to testify. And then his daughter told me he was going through the restaurant and testifying and telling people, you don't understand. There's a God that loves us. There's a Jesus that died for us. He just touched my heart. He changed me. And you know, this guy's a great, he gives a great testimony of his salvation. And so I forgot this, but his daughter told me, said, you walked right by him. And when the elder was praying for him, you put your hand on his head and you said, God's just given you another testimony because you're so good at it. Praise God. Because if you open your mouth and you tell of the glory of God, God will fill you with something to say. If you have nothing to say, why would he give you something to say? Because he knows you won't say it. And he can use a donkey, hello? You know they got another name for donkeys, right? And you know what that name is. But the prophet, Old Testament backslidden prophet, trying to make the donkey go the way that God doesn't want him to go, and the donkey was like, ain't going there. So the prophet starts hitting the donkey. After the third time, the donkey spoke to him and said, I haven't done anything for you to hit me. What's your problem, dude? Yeah, it's the Message translation. It's hysterical. Wow. There's no youth today. Sorry, guys. This is youth. See, but the donkey was available, so God used him. But some of us aren't. Listen, the times that are coming on the earth, the weak form of Christianity, the open up the religion box, close that box, do this, do that, don't get too crazy, don't get too right. Why do you have those thoughts? Because you're concerned about what other people think. You have a Saul spirit, and you need a spirit of David. When I walked into this church the first time to be the pastor of this church, the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you want to be Saul Church or do you want to be David? The obvious answer is David. But the temptation everywhere is to be Saul. What will we do if not for the people? Well, we might have to pray. Has it come to that? We have to rely on God. Jesus goes to every city and every village, including Citrus Springs, and he's trying to touch people. He's trying to touch people in this area and in this county, and he needs a place that will carve out the room for his spirit to move. These kids will have dreams and visions. The Lord will speak to them in the night season. They will hear the voice of God. Like, well, Pastor, I don't know if that's good for kids. Well, then you need to have a conversation with God, because that's how God called the prophet Samuel. When he was a little bitty boy, like her size, and Hannah, who prayed for him and she was barren, came and lent that child of the Lord. That's true Bible dedication. His God, I will lend to you all the days of my life the child that you have given to me for your service. And she lent that child Samuel, and he came before a backslidden priest, Eli, to minister to the Lord. And in the night seasons, while he was laying down, the Lord began to speak to him and called him even at a young age. Man, we need an environment where our young people can hear from God. You know, our new family life pastor, Pastor Brian and his wife, Patience, praise God. For those of you who weren't here last week, our new family life pastors that are coming on, his oldest daughter, how old is Caitlin? Five. She had a dream. Tell them the dream.
So she woke up one morning and said, Dad, I had a dream last night. And I said, oh, okay, what was it about? She said, I met up with Jesus. Okay. I was like, that's great. You had a dream of Jesus. He said, yeah, he met up with me on a mountain. I was like, okay, my ear is a little more tuned in here. I said, and what happened? She said, well, he said, if I listen and obey every day, I would get blessed. And then he took off his crown, and he put it on her. I said, what do you look like, honey? I'm trying to get information, okay? She said, there was a sea of people behind me on their knees, on their face, on this mountain. She looked at them and said, why are you worshiping me? You know, he was up on top of the mountain. I think we know where their worship was going towards. But her is a little child. Five. She said, yeah, and he had a bucket, a toothbrush, and a special pencil or something. And people can read into that, but you know what? He related to her as a five-year-old. And that's how he relates to us right where we are. Amen? That's the story, Pastor. Oh, my bad. Okay. She said, then he poured something on my head. I said, really? I said, what was it, babe? He poured some oil. He poured some wine over my head. I said, wow. So what color was it? She said, it was purple. Royalty. He crowns us with dignity and worth. Amen. He did this to my little five-year-old. Have you ever seen Jesus like this? Well, you know, do we want our kids to see Jesus like this? We need to make room for that here in this church. Amen?
Pastors asked me to share about the new wine. Yep. So here we go. This is very personal for me because I spent years trying to drink of the other wine, and it's not good. It just leads to destruction. Amen. Luckily, I found the new wine. It takes a big stretching of the brain, right? So Jesus, his first miracle ever, he had some pot, or he was at a wedding, and the problem was there's no wine. That's our problem, no wine. Okay, just let that sink in. That should be a problem for all of us if there's no new wine. That's the message of today, I feel. So he told some people to get some pots, filled them up with water. And all the religion in that day, the Pharisees, they spent all the time cleaning their outsides. That's religion, right? They got six pots. Six represents the number of man. That's all we can do is try and clean ourselves on the outside, but the inside has to have the new wine. We're meant to be filled by that new wine. Okay. So with his first miracle, he said, it's not time for the new wine yet, but the new wine came. But what he really meant, and we talked about this first service, is that at the cross, you know, there has to be crushing for wine. I kept asking the Lord, how'd they get this new wine? How'd they get this new wine? And the Lord gave me a precious vision of Jesus on the cross and his crushed body. And those are those grapes that were pressed for that new wine. So when he came back from the dead, the new wine, you know, and then he said, wait. The disciples had the new wine fall on them. There would be no church without that new wine. Amen. And it's the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And his church is the same. And so we can't expect to have a church or really anything without that wine. And here's the thing about the wine. Those pots were not overflowing. And we need to overflow. And that's the thing. When the Lord fills us with the new wine, there's always enough. And it just flows and flows. But we overflow. We overflow into others. And we don't even have to try. It just overflows. And it's just there's abundance. So it just goes from, you know, water that only we can supply to overabundance of what he can supply. And there was a cost, a precious cost. So we need to have a reverence about that, you know, but there's a joy. There's no condemnation, you know, and we are meant to drink. We are meant to drink. It's just not in the flesh. It says everything you do in the flesh leads to destruction. Everything you do in the spirit leads to life. You know, and so, yeah, it's our commitment to say we're going to stop escaping and we're going to live in the abundance. We're going to stop escaping from the lack and we're going into the abundance. And we don't do anything. It's what he does. We just allow ourselves to be filled. That's it. Just a yielding.
Amen. Thank you. Way to be ready. So here's what we're going to do before we close service, okay? We're going to have two altar calls. One for anybody that needs prayer who's sick. Or if you have a loved one that you want us to pray for, we're going to go to this side. And then for those of you that want new wine, you know, and that really should be everybody after a service like this. Just try to come all here. Stand up, everyone, if you can. If you can. All right, so if you guys are new, actually, let's do new wine over here. Just because you guys are still here. New wine. And then sick, if anybody needs prayer in your body. If you have any pains, honey, come on over to the new wine section. Go to the new wine. It's a new wine. And anybody that's sick. Hey, listen, I gave you one testimony. We're getting 2-3 testimonies a week of people testifying about how they got healed. One woman at Wednesday night prayer. At discipleship this week, she was at first service. She'd been coughing for over a year and on a nebulizer every night. And she got prayed for at a Jubilee class, and it instantly broke off of her. She went home, hasn't coughed. She went walking, slept through the night, put the nebulizer away, all that stuff, you understand? So new wine, push right in. Everybody's going to smell everybody today. New wine, get all pushy. And then prayer for the sick, same thing. Come on all up. I'll pray for you all at once. Pray for the sick. Come on. Press in like the woman did with the issue of blood. Yeah. Listen, if you're out there and you're taking 18 medicines a day and you're not answering this altar call, I don't understand that. If you're depressed or struggling with anxiety, that counts. Come on up. I want to pray for you. Hey, how you doing? Come on, go to the new wine side. Yeah. Yeah, Angela and Brian, you guys do the new wine. And then this is healing. I wanna pray for the sick. Y'all are new wine. Are you new wine? Okay, press, you know what, come right up to the front, new wine. You guys come on. Yeah, there we go. Angela, you helping. Yeah. You got it? You got it all. Okay. You guys all need something. There's something going on in your bodies or something that you guys know. Okay. First thing I want to do, I rebuke the spirit of fear and the spirit of torment that tries to come on us in the name of Jesus. We're going to thank God that one of his names, one of his revealed names in the scriptures is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. And when they said to Jesus, show us the Father, he said, he who sees the Son sees the Father. And so everything that Jesus did, that's the Father's will. Religion has worked hard to tell us that we did something bad and so now this is our punishment. But that's not scriptural because the punishment for your sins came on Jesus on the cross. You understand? So listen, I want to add to this. If there's anybody here and you want to be prayed for so that the Spirit of God will come on you so that you can pray for the sick, then go to the new wine section. Praise God. That's what they're doing over there. We have a younger generation up here. Good. Dallas, hey, good to see you. New wine, brother. Come on, man. I love that kid. That's a cool kid right there. Yeah. I'll just call you Tex. Get that on the way home. Praise God. All right. So we rebuke the spirit of fear and torment. You guys, all of you, lift your hands up here right now. I'm going to pray for you. Those of you that are out there are so well, extend a hand as a sign of faith towards them. And we're going to go ahead and pray for them. I'm going to pray for all of you at once. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of your holy word, I rebuke all sickness and disease and pain that is coming on them to try to torment them. I pronounce healing over every single one of them in the name of Jesus. Mentally, physically, Lord God, emotionally, Lord God, Father, every part of them, that no sickness, that no pain, that no disease would have authority over them and over their bodies in the name of Jesus. I seal them all with the blood of Jesus right now. I seal them with the blood of Jesus. I speak life over their flesh. I rebuke every sickness, pain, or disease that is trying to come on them. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness and disease and declare you have no authority or power in this flesh. Fall off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we're just going to continue to pray and worship God right in here in this place. Father, we thank you so much that you've touched us. The same one that caused Lazarus out of the grave. You call us out of our darkness, pain, sickness, and brokenness, Lord God. You love us. You sent your Son no longer to be tormented in the name of Jesus, but a testimony to rise up. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all fear. I rebuke all torment. I rebuke all anxiety or anxious thoughts. Father, we deny these lying vanities to have any authority over our flesh, over our mind. But we declare we will build a sanctuary of praise. We know you never leave us or forsake us, but you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You have filled our spirits with a song of praise, Lord God. We will release our worship to one and one alone, Lord God. You have called us, and we have answered, Lord God. We have called, and you have answered. We've come closer this day, us to you and you to us, Lord God. Dwell in us, Father, our hearts as a sanctuary prepared for your goodness, for your mercy, for your glory, for your wisdom to dwell, for the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to break every yoke of darkness and bondage, and to release in us a song of praise, a song of joy, a song of jubilation, a song of breaking forth of things that have had us bound. They are fallen off in the name of Jesus. I do declare freedom from any attack of the enemy over our flesh, over our minds, and over our bodies. We declare this is the house of the Lord. Come on, pray in the spirit, everybody up here. That's how you drink of the new wine. So here's what the Lord just whispered. So we just say it out there so that everybody can hear, okay? More babies. You remember last year was the year of babies in here. We dedicated 8 babies There's a lot of babies in the small church we dedicate. So there's more babies coming, okay? So if your desire in your heart is that you want that to be one of your babies, you and your husband, grab hold of that right now. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. If that's not you, you just go, thank you, God, that you're blessing somebody else. Just appreciate that right now. Thank you, Jesus, for the four we have. Hey, Hannah, come here. So here's one of mine. This is my daughter, praise Jesus. So I have I got four of them, but three boys. So this is my daughter. Hey, Caleb, come here. Just come on over. And this, my son, Caleb, is my firstborn, praise God. He gets the muscles from me, praise Jesus, and the good looks from his mama, praise God. This is my son, Caleb, and my daughter, Hannah. They're twins. Caleb is 1 minute older than Hannah. So what I want you guys to do is we're going to close service. I want you both to just pray over everybody. You can go first and then let Hannah go.
All right. Father God, thank you for everything you've done in this service. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for this healing that you brought in here, God. I pray this week you would touch everybody, God. I pray that when people feel like they're all alone, that they remember that they're not. I pray for healing, God, once again. I pray for people to come around them and be like, man, you got something that I want. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're so glory, God. You're so powerful, God. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I pray you renew the flame in people that lost it. I pray you show people that didn't have it. God, I pray you just help us through this week, God, and make it to another, God, and we pick up brothers and sisters along the way. Name of Jesus. Yep.
Dearly Father God, I pray, Lord, as we walk into this week, Lord, that we continually stay drunk in the new wine, God, not in the old wine, Lord, but that we continually recognize that the fruits that you have given us are better than any of the fruits of the world, God, that as we look at the temptations in the world around us, we say, no, I've tasted something sweeter, God. And I pray, Lord, we carry that forth, God, that we are not afraid to testify of what's happened in this place today, God. Pray, Lord, that every healing, every touched heart, God, there is testimony that follows it, God, and that this ignites, this beginning of an igniting in Citrus Springs and in Citrus County, God. So we just pray, Lord, blessing over everyone as we leave today, God. And we pray over, Lord, over all the Italian food we're going to eat. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
That's my girl. That's my girl. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. They got filled. He was six. No, he was four and a half. She was 6 years old when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost and got their prayer language. Four and a half, 6 years old. That's why I say bring up the children in the Lord, man. So you bring them away from the Lord, then when they get introduced to things with the Lord, when they're 40 years old, they're like, I don't know. It's like, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but brother, so anyway. Good job. Did you guys get blessed today in the house of the Lord? All you people that got prayed for healing, you claim that, and then the pain tries to come back on you, you say no. You say, I don't accept this in the name of Jesus. Jesus took my pain away. You have to take authority over it and rebuke it. Listen to me. I want to just say this to you publicly, okay? Okay, man, I love you so much, dude. You know, so much of what you've gone through has just been because of all the preparation that God's doing in your life to stand before men and preach and teach the word of God, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's the wisdom that he's putting inside of you, and so much of the struggles that you go through and the internal things that you've had to deal with, and you know, the battles and all that, it's all about God taking you to the backside of the desert, as he did Moses, as he did David, as he did Paul, so that when you come out of that place, you come out just totally emptied of yourself and ready to be fit for the master's use. And you know, you have an excellence about you. You have a call. Your call is a little different than my call. You have an excellence. The Lord's put an excellence excellence in you, a spirit of excellence like he put in Daniel. You're to study the life of Daniel and see that because he's put that spirit inside of you. And there's a wisdom, there's an excellence in the way that you're going to do things, and there's a purity that you walk in and will walk in as separated unto the Lord, and your life will be a witness, and you'll have a great effect in the kingdom of God. You are an instructor. I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. The teacher anointing is on you. So all this stuff's going to fall off and break off, but just like Jonah inside the fish, you got to thank him in the midst of it. You got to go through the struggle and realize this is not the end. No matter what the enemy says to you, he is lying to you. He is a liar, and every time he speaks from his nature. God is for you and not against you. You're going to come out of this. You're going to be used. Your entire family is going to be used, and you're going to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Amen. You too. Yeah, you're such a sweet lady, man. Praise God. And she laid hands on you. You could claim that. All right. Hey, so we love you so much.
I just want to. Yeah, we've been singing and preaching and doing it all today. So I just want to say we had such an awesome response here for Holy Spirit. If you were not touched, if you do not leave with your prayer language, please stay here. We will be here as long as it takes. If you have to go, come find us the next time we have service. But I just want to make sure that nobody gets passed by.
Sorry, I lost my voice. Make sure everybody gets personally prayed for if you want personal prayer. The staff up here. Listen, where's my baby? Hey, come here. She's the one that made these beautiful babies. I was telling them at first service when they were inside your belly, your belly popped so much I could put the plate on your, sorry. You weren't here, so yeah, you probably would have got mad if you were here. I probably should have left that part out. Praise God. But you know what? Listen, we love you so much. We love you. We love you guys so much. We love the church of God. We love what God's doing in the church. We love God's people. We love this community so much. Every time that I come here, I say, thank you, God, that you allowed me to come and pastor this church and be here and do the work of the ministry. We're so grateful and thankful for what God's doing, what God's done, the people that God has brought here. I mean, it's just an amazing team and the vision that is here and all the things that are coming. Next week we have some absolutely incredible announcements that we're going to tell you, but I'm going to let you go now without announcements. But if you look on our Facebook page, one of them we streamed the great giveaway. We streamed on that online, so you can look and get that announcement. But that's what that pod is for in the sign. We're going to bring all our stuff, not our junk. We're not going to give our throwaways, but we're going to give the best that we possibly can to this community. We will never, the Lord told me when I came here, we will never do anything to try to take money or resources from the community. We will never sell stuff, you know, to the community. We will give to the community. We're going to give clothing. We're going to give shoes. We're going to give toys to children. We're going to help people that need tools, people that need nice bicycles, you know, whatever we have, furniture, to people, we're going to give to the community. We're going to feed them breakfast. We're going to have a prayer tent, and we're just going to totally bless this community, and that's going to be the next outreach. It's called the Great Giveaway, and I'm sorry, I talk with my hands, so you'll have to forgive me. So, but anyway, we love you guys so much, and we thank you for being a part of what God's doing, and it's just the beginning, amen. God bless you, and as my daughter prayed, you please go eat Italian food. It'll be good for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.